Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Hello, and welcome to Good News in the Morning. This is Reverend Juliet Schimpf speaking, and I'm so glad that you joined us today. Check us out at www.gncm.ca, which is short for Good News Christian Ministries. And there you'll learn all about our podcasts, our blogs, and even opportunities to give online to this worthwhile organization. Well, today we're going to look at a famous speech of Jesus Christ, namely the Beatitudes. And we're going to zero in on one Beatitude in particular, namely Matthew 5, verse 5, which says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Let me say that again. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Now, this was spoken on a hillside. Jesus was sitting, and that was typical of rabbis, Jewish rabbis in particular, to sit and deliver their speeches. We don't know the exact location, but it may have been the gently sloping hillside at the northwest corner of the Sea of Galilee. Now, before we plunge in detail, I want to give you both the historical context of this beatitude and our contemporary context. So first, the historical. Matthew was writing this passage primarily for the Jews. And the whole story of Jesus falls within the framework of a nation in bondage to Rome. You see, in 63 BC, a little over a half century before Jesus was born, Pompey had annexed Palestine for Rome. And thus Jewish independence came to an end. And that independence had been gained in a bloodbath revolution called the Maccabean Revolution. And they fought to be free from Greece. And it wasn't very long that they knew that freedom until they were under the bondage of the imperial power of Rome. From 63 BC on, the land was ruled partly through Herodian kings. They were a family of kings appointed by Caesar. Here's some more of the historical context. The Jews despised this Roman oppression, but they wouldn't admit it. Jesus, when he was talking to the Jews in John 8, said this, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And they answered him, "We are Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man." Did you catch that? They wouldn't even admit it, that they were slaves to Rome. Such was their pride. Now, the Jewish group known as the Zealots were looking for a Messiah to overthrow the Rome. They were looking for a great general who would use brute force. Then we have the Pharisees, who were equally anxious to overthrow Rome. Only they weren't looking for a military kingdom, they were looking for a holy commonwealth. They were looking for a restoration of the Old Testament theocracy. So those are the Zealots and the Pharisees. And into this picture comes Jesus Christ, the suffering servant, who is not at all interested in brute force. Instead, he says, "Blessed are the meek." We know who Jesus really was by the fact that he quoted from Isaiah 61 in Luke 4. to describe himself, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to set at liberty them that are bruised." So this is the historical context. Now our contemporary context. Today we have glamorized vice and we have minimized virtue. We have played down gentleness, manners, and morals, while we have played up rudeness, savagery, and vice. We have reverted to the barbaric era of a tooth and claw, or the survival of the fittest, and the philosophy of might is right. Listen to how Billy Graham puts it. To quote him, he says, "We say, happy are the clever, for they shall inherit the admiration of their friends. Happy are the aggressive, for they shall inherit prosperity. Happy are the talented, for they shall inherit a career. Happy are the rich, for they shall inherit a world of friends and a house full of modern gadgets." Now, we shouldn't be surprised about this contemporary context, which glamorizes vice over virtue. 2 Timothy, verse 3, tells us about godlessness in the last days. 2 Timothy 3 says this, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good." Wow, what a description. That is the exact opposite of meekness. But if we want to follow Christ and be like him, we need to live out his teachings. So when we come back, we're going to listen and learn about meekness. We're going to look at three things: that meekness is a response to a holy God, that meekness is the bliss of a disciplined life, and that meekness is a true view of oneself. Let's pause first and listen to a famous Christian song named "I Can Only Imagine."
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Sing hallelujah. Will I
not be able to speak at all. I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing and hallelujah? I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
Welcome back to Good News in the Morning, and today we're looking at a famous beatitude spoken by Jesus Christ, which is, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the world. We're going to look at three things now. First, that meekness is a response to a holy God. Second, meekness is the bliss of a disciplined life. And thirdly, meekness is a true view of oneself. So let's start then with the fact that meekness is a response to a holy God. It's a response. You know, John MacArthur explains that meekness is different from being broken in spirit. Though the root word is the same, broken in spirit focuses on my sinfulness, whereas meekness focuses on God's holiness. Isn't it interesting that this beatitude about meekness comes between those who mourn over sin and those who hunger and thirst after righteousness? It's squeezed right in the middle. G.K. Chesterton explains, what we suffer from today is humility in the wrong place. A man was meant to be doubtful about himself, but today he is undoubting about the truth. Nowadays, the part of a man that a man does assert is exactly the part he ought not to assert, namely, himself. I think that Chesterton puts it well. You see, the Hebrew word for meek is anah, and it mainly deals with a man's attitude toward God. Anah describes the man who, in loving and obedient humility, accepts the guidance of God, and who never grows resentful and bitter about anything which life may bring to him. It is essentially the quiet certainty that God is always working all things together for our good. It describes the man who gives God the perfect trust, the perfect obedience, and even the perfect submission. It is exemplified by Job when he said in Job chapter 1, verse 21, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, it is not so much the blessing of the man who is self-controlled, for such complete self-control is beyond human capacity. Rather, it is the blessing of the man who is completely God-controlled. It comes from the focus upon God, and it is birthed in us by the Holy Spirit. That's why it is listed as a fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, you see it says in verses 22 to 23, the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, goodness, and yes, meekness. So that's our first examination of meekness, which is a response to a holy God. It's a divine trust in the Lord and a quiet obedience. Let's look next at our second topic, namely that meekness is the bliss of a disciplined life. Now, the Greek word for meek is pros, and the Greek ancestry of the word meek has to do mainly with a man's attitude to his fellow men. The word pros has two standard Greek meanings. First, it is used to describe an animal which has been tamed and domesticated and which has been trained to obey the word of command. You can just picture a powerful horse reined in by the bit in his mouth. So a possible translation of this beatitude is, blessed is the man who has every instinct, every impulse, and every passion under God's control. The second Greek meaning for the word meek is explained by Aristotle, which is really the mean or the middle between excessive anger and excessive angerlessness. You see, as Aristotle saw it, meekness is the happy medium between too much and too little anger. So a possible translation of the Beatitude is this: blessed is the man who is always angry at the right time and never angry at the wrong time. This type of self-mastery is critical for leaders. For only when a person has mastered himself is he truly able to rule others. Proverbs 13, verse 32 explains, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. I like how John MacArthur explains things. He says, meekness is a gentleness and a mildness and a subdued character, but it is not weakness. It is power under control. Let me say that again. Meekness is power under control. The horse that is reined in by the rider is a powerful animal, but its power is reined in and under control. In us, such meekness is the byproduct of self-emptying or self-humiliation. It's a brokenness before God. It is a taming of the lion. So meekness does not mean impotence. You know, what's interesting is it is used of a king who might have exercised vengeance on a rebellious people, but who treated them with sheer kindliness. And it could also apply to a parallel with the Gulf Stream. Did you know that when you put a straw parallel with the Gulf Stream, which is a very powerful water flow, the Gulf Stream will flow through the straw? For us, the Christ follower, meekness is all about placing our will in line with the will of God and saying, oh God, flow through me. For example, we have Moses described as very meek and more than all the men on the face of the earth, who stood before Pharaoh and said, let my people go. It is exemplified in Jesus before Pilate, saying with his silence, stop me if you can. It is Peter and John standing before the Jerusalem police saying, we must obey God rather than man. It is Martin Luther defying the Pope and saying to his princes, here I stand. And it is John Knox in Scotland pounding his pulpit in St. Giles and putting Mary Stuart, the Queen, in her place. All of these are examples of strength, but a strength that is reined in. All right, that is the second meaning of meekness. The third is that meekness is a true view of oneself. Dr. Lloyd-Jones explains that meekness is essentially a true view of oneself. In particular, Dr. Lloyd-Jones gives us five main examples or categories of viewing oneself in a true sense. First, the meek man is not proud of himself, and he does not in any sense glory in himself. He feels that there is nothing in himself of which he can boast. Second, being meek means that he or she does not assert himself. You see, it is a negation of the popular psychology of the day, which says, assert yourself or express yourself. Third, to be meek does not demand anything for oneself. It means that the meek person does not take all his rights as claims, and he does not make demand for his position, his privileges, or his possessions. Fourth, to be meek means to not always be on the defensive. You see, we spend the whole of our lives watching ourselves. Is it not one of the greatest curses in life to be so sensitive about oneself? But when a man becomes meek, he has finished with all of that. He no longer worries about himself and what other people say. To be truly meek means we no longer protect ourselves. Fifth and last, to be meek is, in the words of Christ, to be lowly in heart. That's from Matthew 11:29. To be lowly in heart. In Matthew 21, it says, "See, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." All right, that wraps up our three understandings of meekness, namely a response to a holy God, the bliss of a disciplined life, and a true view of oneself. We're going to pause now and listen to a classic Christian hymn, namely In Christ Alone. And when we come back, we're going to hear the exciting promise that is built into this beatitude.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus. darkness sing, then bursting forth in glorious day. Up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his, and he is mine, bought with the precious blood.
Welcome back to Good News in the Morning. We've been looking at a beatitude of Jesus Christ, namely, blessed are the meek. And we can't stop there. We must look at the promise now built into that beatitude. It says, for they shall inherit the earth. What does this mean, that we shall inherit the earth when we are meek? Well, it's certainly not a promise that the children of God can own oil wells or blocks of downtown Manhattan or orchards in Southern California. No, this beatitude is a direct quotation of Psalm 37:11. And so we should begin with the Old Testament understanding of inheriting the earth. Originally, this verse had to do with the entering of the children of Israel into the promised land. But with the coming of Jesus Christ in the New Testament, this beatitude acquires much more width. You see, for Christians, this verse means more than the possession of any territory on earth. You see, it really means that a man who is meek is a man who is always satisfied, a man who is already content. And that's why the Message translation of this beatitude says this: you're blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. What a beautiful promise for us. Would you join me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are always at work for our good and your pleasure. And so we need only trust in you and line up with your will. I pray for the listener who finds it hard to be meek. I pray they'd stop trying and start trusting. Would you fill them with your Holy Spirit and birth in them the fruit of the Spirit, which is meekness? Lord, it seems so contradictory to us to be meek in a world that is arrogant, boastful, and aggressive. It seems almost like a contradiction. But isn't that the way of the cross, a contradiction? We thank you that you lived out meekness for us, Jesus, by way of the cross. You died for us that we might live. Lord, I pray for the listener. Encourage them and equip them. And would they be salt and light through their meekness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.